Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service for Sunday, the 21st of March, 2021. And the message has been provided to us today by Paul Lambert. And the reading he's chosen is John 12, 20 to 33, which says this. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The message has been entitled, It's All Greek to Me. Paul says, you remember the film, My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Well, in that, there's a great line. There are two kinds of people, those who are Greeks and those who want to be Greeks. The Bible says there are two kinds of people, those who are unbelievers and those who believe. The New Testament, as you all know, was written in Koine Greek, the Greek of the marketplace, street language, not the posh classical Greek of scholars. Yet so often the Bible is translated into anything but, shall we say, street English. It is sometimes translated to sound so religious that people on the street don't think that it's relevant. It's one of the jobs of preachers to translate the Bible into everyday English. Some Greek words are traditionally poorly translated in the New Testament. For example, in ancient Greek, words like apostle and repent were everyday words. Yet we have translated them into English words that only religious people use, rather than everyday words with similar meanings, such as messenger or change of heart. Paul's not going to give you an entire Greek lesson today, but he is going to share with us the significance of Greek culture in the passage that was read. Have you ever been involved in mistaken identity? Like when someone rings up and asks for Mr. Lambert, and your father says, yes, I'm Mr. Lambert. So the obstetrician then gives details of your wife's progress in labour. It was a somewhat embarrassing incident, I can tell you. The point is, all this is strikingly similar in John chapter 12. Israel had welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem. The Jews in Jerusalem welcomed Jesus as their king, but as it turned out, they concluded they were mistaken. Jesus was not the kind of king they supposed him to be. He was claiming to be Israel's Messiah, but their Messiah was not the Jesus kind of Messiah. And so by the end of that week, they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar." Jesus was mockingly worshipped as King of Israel. Just for some background to the passage, Passover was near and Jews from all over the world were coming to Jerusalem. Some of them came in contact with Philip. Greek name means lover of horses. He was one of the Lord's disciples and asked for his assistance. Some Greeks were on their way to worship at the feast when they met Philip and they said to him, "We want to see Jesus." What happened after they spoke to Philip may have been something they weren't expecting. The Passover feast was held in the first month of the Jewish lunar calendar, mid-March to mid-April in our solar calendars. The first Passover occurred way back in Egypt, Exodus 12, over 1,000 years before Jesus walked on the earth. And this was a feast where every Jewish male was expected to come to Jerusalem, and Jesus and his disciples were going in that direction to observe the feast. The other Jews, besides those who lived in Israel, were coming too. After the kingdom fell to Babylon around 588 BC, a number of Jews returned to Judah, but some remained in Babylon, Persia, and other places. Besides this, some Gentiles were Jewish converts and became circumcised and were accepted into the Jewish faith. One of these was Nicholas of Antioch, who was one of the original seven deacons. It isn't clear, scholars say, whether they were Greek-speaking Jews or Gentile converts. You could say they were Greek Gentiles. So Philip decided to find Andrew, Greek name like Andreas, and probably explain the situation to him. So they both went to Jesus and tell him that there were some people who wanted to see him. Andrew had introduced Simon, his own brother, to Jesus, and even made friends with a small boy who gave his lunch to Jesus in John 6. So he was perhaps more used to introductions than Philip. Jesus gave a four-part reply to Peter and Andrew. Sounds strange, as he doesn't appear to answer their question. Or does he? Jesus talks about an agricultural principle. Jesus sets down an important principle: fruit bearing does not result from one's efforts to save his life, but from one's willing sacrifice of his life. Fruit bearing does not result from one's efforts to save his life, but from one's willing sacrifice of his life. In other words, you can preserve a grain of wheat by protecting it from corruption and from the weather, but it will not produce a crop of wheat. On the other hand, you can place it in the ground to die. The death of the seed will produce fruit. Jesus is speaking mainly of himself and his imminent death. Jesus means he will soon die, and that by means of his death he will produce much life. Do you get it? So what does this have to do with the Greeks? There are two points. First, whether Jews or Greeks, the death of Jesus in the sinner's place is the only way of salvation. Secondly, in order for the Greeks to be saved as Greeks, Israel must reject Jesus as the Messiah so the gospel can be widely proclaimed to the Gentiles. This is in keeping with the principle to the Jew first and also to the Greeks or Gentiles. In other words, you and me. So why does Jesus not grant them an audience? The answer is simple. It was not yet time. His hour had not yet come. Of course, Greeks are known for their philosophers and wisdom. For example, Heraclitus. He wrote, "Day by day, what you choose, what you think, and what you do is what you become." Sounds familiar even today, kind of like, "You are what you eat." Pericles wrote, "Time is the wisest counsellor of all." Socrates was considered one of the founders of Western logic and philosophy, and he wrote, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life." Another more familiar one is, "The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing." So Jesus' wisdom was different. He offered, "In order to live, you must die to self and then foolishness." What do you think of Jesus, who said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw men to myself"? He was talking of his death. On the cross he was lifted up, and from that day men have followed him, and women too. "These things were written," says John, "that you may believe." So bless you all today. And God bless. Amen.